Thanks for choosing a 3CR podcast. Throughout June 2023, we're running our annual Radiothon, where we ask you, the listener, to make a donation so that we can continue to make great radio. Your donation will help keep us community-owned and community-controlled. Go to 3cr.org.au/donate, and with that done, please enjoy the podcast.
Now I'm a union man, amazed at what I am. I say what I think, that the company stinks. Yes, I'm a union man. When we meet in the local hall, I'll be voting with them all. With a hell of a shout, it's out, brothers, out, and the rise of the company's fall. Oh, you don't get me, I'm part of the union. You don't get me, I'm part of the union. You don't get me, I'm part of the union. Till the day I die. Till the day I die.
As a union woman, I'm wise to the lies of the company spies.
And she don't.
Good morning, members. Welcome to 3CR Radical Radio. This is the program called Fire Up MUA, and my name's David Bond from the Victorian branch of the MUA, and I'm here with my co-host and good friend, Azza. How you going, Azza?
I love that it's changed up. I'm going well, Dave. Wally, it's great that it's changed up. We've had a few nicknames for me over the last couple of shows, so nice to see that you've shifted away from your regular format.
No, good on you, mate. And, of course, Robert the Ghost Lumsden is on leave. He's in Europe at the moment, a well-deserved break to Casper. I'm sure he'll get this show at some stage. So all the best to you and Jen, mate. Hope you're having a great time. I'm sure Aaron's got a message for you as well.
It is a well-deserved break for Robbie. And it's good to see that he's escaping the Australian winter for some European summer. It means we might keep him for a little longer.
Of course, we're on 3CR Radical Radio, and Radical Radio 3CR is a community radio program that needs the support of the listeners and the community to stay alive. And our fantastic producer, Annie, is with us today. And Annie wants to talk a bit about a radiothon that's taking place at the moment with 3CR.
Yeah, in the early part of June, and of course this is leading up to the tax period, so any donation you make to 3CR is tax deductible. You can go online and donate, which is would be great. Our target this year is $275,000, and that, of course, as they say, makes it possible for us to express the opinions that we do without having to worry about any unpleasant backlash from sponsors like Murdoch or Skase. This is one reason for why you guys are on our station and why you support us.
Yeah, no, certainly 3CR is a great avenue for progressive voices and for left-wing voices and for the voice of the worker. We know that if we're on any of the big shitheads programs or channels, I guess, or platforms, it's always because we're robbing people of Christmas or the Wharfies are doing something wrong, and it's always the same. And there's that great poem that says, "Blame the Wharfie." That's because every time something happens, they want to blame a worker. And so having community-based stations like 3CR is great, and it's a great way for us to get our message out to our listeners and also our members who receive this by podcast. So those who did receive it by podcast, there's a link in the email that you've got for you to be able to donate. Remember, it's tax deductible, but support 3CR.
And for our everyday listeners, Annie, how do they go about supporting 3CR?
Well, they can ring up on 03-9419-8377 and donate. You can come and knock on the door at 21 Smith Street. You can send it in.
That's by taking brown paper bags, are we?
Hmm?
Take a brown paper bag, I'll be Annie, hey?
Yeah,
That's
right.
That's what we're infusing on the other platforms.
That's right. But there's lots of ways you can donate, and small or big, everything is appreciated.
Fantastic. I'm sure our listeners will get on board and our members will get on board supporting this independent radical radio station, bringing you the real news and the real stories across Melbourne and across the Australian waterfront, which we're talking about right now.
Yeah, so I guess we're gonna kick off today's show with a little bit of a discussion about the new workplace relations laws. We've touched on them bits and pieces throughout the show, and they've kind of made up components of various discussions we've had about the industrial disputes that we're currently in. But this week, on the 6th of June, many of these new laws kicked in. Many of them are still to come. There's timeframes on them. Some of the more positive things, like the prohibition against sexual harassment in the Fair Work Act, those elements and the positive components to those that are placed upon employers to ensure not only that they respond appropriately after an incident, but they act proactively to ensure that sexual harassment or gender-based violence doesn't occur in the workplace, are still being phased in. But they're one of the really good, there's a few really good amendments to the Fair Work Act, such as that one, such as the pay secrecy laws, so that you can't the employer can't instruct you to hide what it is that you're getting paid from your workmate, so that way there's fairness across the board. They abolished the ABCC and the ROC, and there were some changes, but albeit they gave many of those powers to the Fair Work Commission in any case. So we're not in the better position that we expected we're going to be, but it is a step in the right direction at very least. We have seen that there is changes to the contractors and the way that fixed-term contracts will work. There'll be limitations around them, so they'll limit it to 2 years. They can't be rolling contracts. Various other things like that are in place, and hopefully there's more around bargaining as well. So multi-employer bargaining, and things like that. And I'm hoping that in a few weeks' time we'll be able to give you a much more thorough update on those bargaining ones. But there is one that we want to touch on now, one that's knocking on the door of the MUA consistently, and that's the change to bargaining around the intractable bargaining workplace determination that can be sought when an employer and the union have been bargaining for 9 months, and then either party can make the application to say that they're at a crossroads and seek a determination from the Fair Work Commission. So that's something that's much of our bargaining takes a long time. So often it's not uncommon recently to be bargaining for 18 months, 2 years. Not ideal, but it's because the employers drag it out, they carry on. And that's what we've seen happening nowadays. So how do you think those laws are going to impact the MUA?
Well, yeah, and I mean, a lot of those laws were put in place with pressure from unions, and I don't want to be critical of other unions, but these laws are put in place for unions that struggle to get a workplace agreement. And look, that happens to all of us from time to time, and certainly the Spitzer situation with the MUA is one of those situations. I will put a couple of caveats on that, but we'll talk about that later. Yeah, so it reduces the strength of the union. You know, a union that has high density membership and the ability to take action on the coal face or the waterfront, as in the case with us, it can force an arbitrated outcome, which, you know, obviously might not be in favour of the worker. And we're going to talk a little bit about Spitzer after this song, but we hope you enjoy it. It is The Times Are Changing by Bob Dylan, and we're going to go into that song right now, and we'll be back in just a second.
Come gather round, people, wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone. Oh, the times they are a-changing. Some writers and critics who prophesize with your pen, and keep your eyes wide, the chance won't come again. And don't speak too soon, for the wheel's still in spin. And there's no telling who that it's naming. For the loser now will be later to win. For the times, they are a-changing. Senators, congressmen, please heed the call. Don't stand in the doorway, don't lock up the hall. For he that gets hurt will be he who has stalled. The battle outside raging will soon shake your windows and rattle your walls. For the times, they are a-changing. Mothers and fathers throughout the land, and don't criticize what you can't understand. Your sons and your daughters are beyond your command. Your old road is rapidly aging. Please get out of the new one if you can't lend your hand. Oh, the times they are a-changing. It is drawn, the curse it is cast. The slow one now will later be fast, as the present now will later be past. The order is rapidly fading, and the first one now will later be last. For the times, they are a-changing.
G'day members, we're back with you with 3CR Fire Up MUA. We were just talking about the new laws, the new industrial relations laws that were brought into action this week, I think on the 6th of June was the official day.
6th of June, and it's obviously right now the 8th of June, very early in the morning. Members are reminded, even though it's early, remember to dig deep and throw in some cash for the radiothon.
So it's a pretty important day for us here at the MUA. We've been forced into a corner by the Fair Work Commission and by Switzer. Today, a vote is taking place on the Switzer EA agreement, which has taken over 4 years to get to this position. It's not a position that the MUA supports. We're having meetings with our members and have had a lot of meetings with our members and the leadership group with the MUA over the past couple of weeks, over the last 4 years, but more intensely over the last couple of weeks, in particular the last couple of days. And we'll be encouraging our members to vote.
Vote no, I believe.
Vote no. Unfortunately, the agreement has not met our expectations or our members' expectations. It was forced down our throat by the Commission and also by the circumstances around such a complex agreement where you have three different unions all on the one vessel, three guys on a tug, three different unions. And this has been forced into the Commission under Section 240 of the...
Yeah, one of the new changes of the Act, I guess. There's some good faith bargaining issues that we had, and it's all kind of, there's been multiple court cases over the last 4 years, them trying to terminate the agreement, Switzer trying to terminate the action, Switzer trying to lock our members out, Switzer trying to force an arbitrated outcome, and that's where we've gotten to now, where now we've gotten through and with the assistance of the commission that were meant to be helping in bargaining. Switzer still boycotted that, said no, refused to negotiate. And now we're in a position where the commission kind of, for lack of better words, threw their toys out of the cot and got the shits with the process, and now they've said put it out for a vote. And what happens after the vote? I mean, that's the discussion we're having with our members now. But there are a few. Dave, do you want to go through the clauses particularly that are of concern? There are a couple that are real concern.
Yeah, well, in particular, there's a clause in the new agreement that talks about outsourcing. It's a massive concern in all our agreements when we talk about subcontractors and the ability of the company to bring in outside people to do our work. Obviously, if we had our way, and I'm pretty sure it's against the law for us to have our way, that we would block the companies from outsourcing or using subcontractors under any circumstances. But where we can get in clauses into our agreement to include that anyone who does come into our workplace and performs the same duties as us, they have to be under the same terms and conditions of the people that are covered under the EA, that at least provides us with some protection.
That's the noise the ALP was making around use of contractors and stuff, particularly as some of those big mine sites were using contractors to undermine the employment conditions of the miners there. And I mean, we've been fortunate, but we've been not fortunate, we've been militant enough to be able to get some clauses on that in many of our agreements, or have deeds of understanding with companies that allow for us to ensure that our wages and conditions are protected and the contractors can't undermine them. And that was the noise that ALP was making. And now we're here with this shit sandwich of laws that we're stuck with, where maybe we'll end up with an arbitrated outcome, maybe we won't. But what we do know is that just being pushed into this corner is not a fair way to negotiate. It didn't allow us to go through and do the drafting like we usually would, have that consultative approach.
It feels like an arbitrated outcome.
Yeah, it's almost like it feels like an arbitrated outcome already without having the stamp of the commission put right on it. And now it's gone to a vote.
Yeah, so technically it is not an arbitrated outcome, but we can tell you that the commission basically threw the agreement on the table and said, that's what you're voting on. I've had enough of this. And so that's where we are. So that's where we are. And a no vote, you know, leads us into a bit of the unknown, because that's when the new industrial relation laws, the intractable bargaining dispute will come into play. And it's untested waters, so we don't know where that'll head or what that'll mean.
There may be mandatory consultation. It could be further more of what we've been doing. Yeah, there is a bit of untested waters. And I think this union often seems to be tickling on the edges of laws that create precedent anyway. So it's not that part of it's not uncommon for us, but just the fact that we've got these new laws and nobody's really sure what's going to happen if the application is made by the company. Also, it's probably worth noting the company doesn't have to make that application. They can come and bargain and we can just get an outcome like we normally do. They've got to have to make that application in the first instance. But yeah, it is a bit of the unknown. But regardless of the path that we go down, we'll be there to support our members, and we'll be down talking to our guys on the tugs and supporting our members through whatever industrial battle we have ahead of us, be it a battle to make this agreement work for us, if it does get voted up. But as Dave said, we're voting no, and if whatever transpires after that, we'll be there backing our members.
That's right. And the other two unions, AIMP, I think, and sitting on the fence, or?
I thought AIMP was one of them's on the fence, isn't it?
Who knows what the other two unions are doing, but we're voting no, and we're encouraging all towage workers to vote no on this agreement. We're sure that we can negotiate a better outcome for our members if we're given a good opportunity to do that. So the Switzer saga does continue. We'll report back in a fortnight where that vote landed and what it means for our members.
Now, I was thinking that DP World were going to be the first ones to try out these bargaining laws, because their negotiations are underway now, and we've met with the Part A a couple of times. The companies came through, and similar to what happened down at Patrick's, is they've come through and tried to attack their rosters. If they attack the FSE rosters, it attacks the VSE wages. So I think they've had this brain fart where they've tried to target a particular section of the workforce, but by proxy have now targeted both, which, I mean, will only unite the workforce further. But it is another attack on our members' wages and conditions. They've offered something like 2%. I mean, their competitor just got 7.5%. So Patrick did at the beginning of the year, and it's looking like inflation's sitting high enough that they'll get another 6 or so at the end of next year or the beginning of next year. So they're going to be well ahead, and we need to make sure that the DP World Agreement keeps up with that. It's about ratcheting up conditions for us, and those negotiations are underway. There's been some issues around getting the Part B negotiations moving, but we've had the first meeting. The second one, dates are there to be done. So there is ongoing meetings with DP World. But look, because of these new laws, we were thinking that they were going to try and drag their feet. They're obviously a multinational, huge corporation with deep pockets. So we thought that they'd be the ones to try it out, but maybe we'll be looking at what happens at Switzer and doing it. Regardless, there's going to be a blue summer in the Port of Melbourne in the next 6 months.
And I understand they're being supported by the same law firm that supported Patrick's throughout their negotiations and
supported
Patrick's.
Yeah, supported Patrick's. They support Switzer.
Yeah.
And also supported BRCT when they were suing the union for $100 million. So I don't know what happened, but I feel like maybe the Wharfie sold one of these partners of Dad Carr or something. They've got a vendetta against us. I don't know what's going on, but
yeah.
Or it's just that they have a great ideological hatred for the working class.
Yeah, it's kind of like
that. Is that Greenfields? What is the name of that company? Oh. I think it's the same law firm that the former foreign minister used to work for.
Yeah, no, I don't think it is. I don't think it's I know who you mean. You mean Julie Bishop, hey?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it's not them. She works for someone different. I think one of their partners split off and made a new law firm, but I'm not really sure. I just know that they hate us.
I don't want to say it on air. I don't want to give them a free plug. Anyway, what they have done is put the same agenda on the table at DP World as they put on at Patrick's. I believe the same roster proposals they put on at Patrick's, they've put on at DP World. So they're following a similar agenda. I'm not sure why. I'm pretty sure we got a good outcome at Patrick's.
Yeah, it ended up being a really good outcome at Patrick's. And
So it's ideological. It's ideological across the big end of town. That's what they want.
Yeah, it's absolutely ideological. It's almost collusion. But look, like we did at Patrick's and like we've done at Switzer for the last 4 years, we'll do the same at DP World and we'll fight them. Our members are united. Our members are firmly behind their delegates and their union. And what I do know is that for 150 years, we've won. And we've increased the paying conditions of waterside workers. So we're going to do that for the next 6 months and the next 150 years anyway. So there's a bit happening there.
Members might notice a couple of vessels in the waters around Melbourne and Victoria at the moment that are in unusual positions. The Sea Road Mersey is alongside at Yarraville at the moment, which is an unusual spot for it to be.
Was it inside there, David? Oh, go on, mate. I want the full mechanical breakdown, mate, because I know you've got it.
Well, apparently there's this thing called a gearbox, and it's broken. And, it's causing massive problems for our Sea Road family, and that vessel's stuck alongside waiting to get fixed. I do believe that it can be, the parts are available in Australia and the technology is available in Australia, so that's fantastic. And I know they're hard at work trying to get that back on the Tasmanian run.
Comes at a very inopportune time, doesn't it, that the one vessel is taken out of that run. They've really worked symbiotically both sides, but it also is occurring while we're in negotiations with them, both for a seafaring agreement and the stevedoring agreement. Stevedoring one, which is quite hostile, but those meetings have been going ahead. Albeit they've not been as productive as we'd like to see from the company's side. They were underprepared in the first one or the second one with us. And so they're looking like they're going to dig their heels in and play hardball a bit as well. So it'll be a bit of watch this space, I think, down on the Sea Road Stevedores agreement for VicTas. But the seafaring one seems to be moving along at a slightly better
Yeah, it's pretty early stages, but we're sure we'll be able to get agreement.
Do you think the seafaring one they're looking at straight link and trying to see what happens there? Or,
Yeah, for sure. I mean, what happens at one company on Bass Strait generally flows across to the other companies. And I think even the management themselves are wary of agreeing to things, knowing that they're going to cop a flogging off their competitors. Yeah. But and the other vessel that people may have noticed moving up and down the Yarra is the Gateway.
The Gateway, yeah, the dredge. That's doing a bit of the Yarra, a bit of the Maribyrnong
dredging,
and Swanson Dock. It's dredging and making sure that our ships can get in and out, I guess, is the very basic way of describing it. My ability to describe dredging should be a lot better than your ability to describe mechanical failures, but here we are. I'm struggling in any case.
Removing the silt, the build-up of silt.
Yes, and they'll be here for a 5-week campaign and then they're shooting off to the northwest.
And we all know the 5 weeks will turn into 10 weeks. Because that's what happens in shipping.
Bit happening. I guess we should just quickly touch on some safety stuff as well. So we've had some pretty serious incidents over the last few weeks. I've reported on a young fellow that was injured at BRCT. We're trying to work with the company. Yeah, he's doing well at the moment, just for everyone. So shout out to Kate. But I work with a company now to try and expand their HSRs. So there's more HSRs on site. The structure hasn't really changed. It's been altered slightly in the last 5 years once. And we met with the company earlier this week to have discussions around moving it, expanding it so that there is adequate representation and they're meeting their obligations under the Act. So like we've done at BP World, like we've done at Mirat and various other sites where we've and Cube, where we've expanded the number of HSRs to accommodate for a growing workforce. We plan on continuing those discussions with BRCT. I think it's clear that we can, that there are risks down there, and that more HSRs mean a safer workplace. So it's a pretty simple equation for me and for our members, but we need to get management to agree. If not, we'll have to bring in the regulator, but that's where we're at with them. And there was an incident down Patrick's that's under investigation now, but that was just around the movement of boxes down there. And once we know more, it's gotten pretty serious and gotten all the way to the board, and the investigation is underway. But we'll be supporting our members through that and looking to ensure that there are learnings out of each of these significant incidents in the terminals, and making sure they don't happen again. So that's the goal, is that they were near misses for fatalities in some cases, particularly at BRCT, and we just want to make sure that doesn't happen again and that our members are in a safer workplace than they were yesterday.
No, the safety is obviously our number one priority on the waterfront. It's a very dangerous place to work, and we all know that when an incident does occur, it's usually a pretty serious one.
Yeah, that's right. So just before we wrap up, mate, I thought we should congratulate our new members down at Lynx. There was an intake at Lynx this week, and they signed up. So congratulations to our new members that joined. And the final thing, these members won't be able to do this, but for other members, they'll be able to vote in the union elections. The close of voting is the 21st of June, and we encourage all of our members to participate in the democracy and choose your representation for the next 4 years.
I believe we've just had a phone call from Casper, and he's donated $200 to the Radiothon. Oh. So congratulations to Casper for all that.
Yeah, well, thanks, Casper. Mate, well done, hey. If you're not here, you're paying. Thanks, everybody. Thank you, Robbie, for the donation.
And our final song is?
Our final song is dedicated to the tugboat workers, and we know which side we're on. Our members know which side they're on. And we just want to know which side are you on, and this is the Dropkick Murphys version.
Thanks, members, and thank you, Annie. Don't forget to donate. Radical Radio 3CR.
Our family gun. lousy scab, or will you be a man? Which side are you on? Which side?
Did you enjoy listening to that podcast? 3CR is a community radio station, and you, the listener, are a part of that community. Right now, it's our radiothon. We need you to pitch in with a few dollars to keep the station going. We can't do it without you. It's easy. Head to 3cr.org.au/donate. Your donations really matter.